This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
It's podcast 44 from Football Adania, your home of Dutch football. I'm Michael Statham, and I'm joined by Michael Bell and Charlie Pritchard to talk everything Dutch football from the national team to the Eredivisie. We're going to review a fantastic 2018. A very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year to all of our listeners who might be listening to us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or Football Nation Radio. We hope you enjoy. Okay, Mike, Charlie, let's get started with Ajax against Real Madrid. That's the news this week. Ajax pulled out Real Madrid in the Champions League last 16 draw. And there seems to be quite a lot of optimism surrounding the club with this draw. You think, you know, Real Madrid, that's quite a frightening tie. But with the season they've had, they're currently sitting in fourth in La Liga. What do we both make of the chances there for Ajax?
Yeah, I think it's funny going into the draw. There was a lot of people saying that, you know, the best that Ajax would probably get was either Porto or Real Madrid. And that's quite funny considering they've won it the last 2 years in a row. You think they'd be the one to avoid. But yeah, I think Ajax definitely have a chance with this one. I think that if you look at Real Madrid's form this season, they've lost Ronaldo, they've lost their key man. I think they're shaky all over the pitch. They've got one or two obviously still excellent players. Luka Modric is obviously a massive player for them. Gareth Bale in the attack. But I think that if Ajax can attack them, they've got so many players over the pitch that can cause Real Madrid trouble. And I think that, you know, you look at the home match as being crucial. If Ajax can get a lead, then I think that the pressure that's surrounding Real Madrid at the moment might just tell. And yeah, I would tip Ajax to cause a bit of a shock here.
Yeah, I think that Cristiano Ronaldo was so integral to that Real Madrid team winning the Champions League 3 times in a row. And they would always pull through against the really big teams. Last year, you remember, they played Juve and PSG and he always pulled them through, even if they didn't look like they were in frightening form. And it was the same in the final. They pulled out some really good goals there with Gareth Bale. But without Ronaldo, there's that presence missing. And there's that, who's their key man? That's a good question. Sergio Ramos at the back could be quite erratic, even though he's their leader. And Ajax can certainly cause some problems. It depends what Ten Hag does up front. He could put in Dolberg, but Ziyech and Tadic out wide, coming back into form now, looking really frightening. And obviously that midfield battle will be really interesting. And I think Ajax probably need to win in Amsterdam to have a chance.
Yeah, I think you're looking at that home tie, that first leg. They really have to cause that damage. But they've done really well against Bayern Munich. 1-1 away draw, 3-3 at home. So, you know, their attacking intent will be there. And I'm sure they have the tools to hurt Real Madrid. But whether this can be done over two legs is another question. And with all the experience that Real Madrid have in Europe as well, who's to say that Ajax have a strong opportunity, because we're talking about Real Madrid here, who are a powerhouse in Europe. But, you know, let's see how they get on. And I think it's another chance for their leading lights to shine as well on the European stage and advertise themselves as well to that bigger move. That's ultimately why they're staying at the club past January, is for this two-legged tie against Real Madrid to sort of prove what they're made of on the biggest stage. But, you know, if we look ahead to February, do we say yes or no in one word? Are Ajax actually going to make this?
Yes, I think they will. I'm looking at the defence of Ajax as well, and it's just looking so strong at the moment. And with Real Madrid lacking that impetus that Ronaldo brought, I can see De Ligt really shining through, particularly. And the goalkeeper, Onana, as well. Maybe I can see him pulling off some really good saves. But, you know, maybe I'm being idealistic, but I just think Ajax right now, the way that they've played in their group has been so professional, and they've actually played some really good football.
I'll say yes as well now. We'll just wait and see what happens in the January transfer window. I think with the pressure around Real Madrid at the moment, they might decide to bring in a couple of players, and there's always going to be some reports of some of the Ajax players getting picked up. And I think that the interest surrounding Hakim Ziyech might happen in January. Something might happen around him if some club comes in with a 30, 40 million pound bid. None of the other big players I can see leaving, but there'd be question marks over Hakim Ziyech. And I just want to see how the two teams line up when it actually comes to February, because if they lined up right now, I'd put Ajax as favourites, but then we'll see what happens in a month's time.
Yeah, it's still a long 2 months away, isn't it? And a big transfer window in between, which I'm sure Ajax may not be busy in, but Real Madrid certainly will be looking to invest. Mike, you spoke about Hakim Ziyech there with the transfer rumours. What's the latest on that, and which clubs have been interested? Considering in the past, transfers have always been dragged out with Ziyech, and it's never quite gone through. Who's interested this time?
Yeah, well, you see, in the past, it's been clubs like Roma, Sampdoria, the past. I think Roma, again, with them struggling, might be the one that actually pushes through and tries to go for a move in January. They're not having a great season, and if they get backed in January, they might try and bring him in to turn their season around.
Well, yeah, no, he was, again, on form today as Ajax beat Utrecht 3-1, sorry, it's a last-minute third goal. Ajax weren't at their best, but they still got another result dug out. And the title race is certainly hot between PSV and Ajax right now. Only 2 points at the winter break. But PSV ultimately are the winter champions. Just wanted to get both your thoughts on the title race up to this point. We're at the halfway point of the Eredivisie season. And what have you made of the season so far? And what do you make of this title race?
Well, I think that PSV started it, they had a blistering start. I mean, they beat Ajax 3-0 in that game in September as well. And there's been kind of been two parts to it. Ajax were kind of finding their way, finding their feet. They were winning games, but Ten Hag was looking for more. He was maybe underwhelmed at times. But in recent months, in the last 2 months, good November and good December for Ajax, Ten Hag's been much happier with the way that they're playing, and they're playing with more clinical edge. Thinking about the 8-0 against the Graafschap. When Ziyech and Blind scored hat tricks, and then obviously PSV wobbled at the Kuip. So it's been in kind of two parts, and it's set up the second part of the season really nicely, and I don't know which way it will go, to be honest. Both the teams have got really good defences. They've got exactly the same record for goals for and goals against. It's just that 2 points that separates them, so it's really exciting going forward.
Yeah, it's been a great title race so far between the two of them that are... Two clubs are obviously the best in the league. They're far, far better than anyone else, and that's why there is, you know, a 10-point gap between Ajax in second and Feyenoord in third. I think it's going to go to the wire between both of them. I tipped PSV before the start of the season, and I'll stick with that, but I think it's going to be a lot closer now than maybe what I was expecting it to be. And I've actually got some question marks around PSV at the moment, especially in their midfield with what's happening with, you know, Gaston Pereiro. And around him, and who comes in and doesn't make it stronger, then you've got PSV to have to head to Amsterdam later in the season. Are they going to be able to, you know, get the 3 points or the point needed there to maybe win the title? Yeah, I think it's... I'm going to stick with PSV since I tipped them before the season, but I think it's a lot closer now, especially since Ajax have been in such good form recently. And it seems that when they're on form, they can just tear teams apart, and they've got so many options from the bench. When you think Kasper Dolberg banging in the goals now, and Huntelaar can't even get in there, and he's had a good goal scoring rate so far this season as well. They've got Sinkgraven back, that's added something in midfield. He looks strong over the pitch. And they're not dropping points like they were last season. I know they slipped up early in the season against Heracles, but since then they've just been clinical, and they're sweeping teams away, which is frightening for the rest of the league at the moment.
Yeah, the mentality of Ajax has been superb this season. I think you have to put that down as to why they've done so well. It's the fact that they've got their heads down and they've won games, such as today, beating Utrecht, a really tricky opponent to play. But they got the 3 points confidently. And I also think, yeah, the goals that have been scored... They're not being scored by Huntelaar and Dolberg all the time. There's a good sort of sharing of the burden between those two strikers. At the same token, I think that also is a slight weakness for Ajax when it comes to maybe a tricky period of the season. I'm sure they will have it when they've been bogged down with Europe and the cup games, that they're going to need goals to get them out of sticky situations. And I think that it comes down to Dolberg and Huntelaar to try and get them those goals. And I saw a stat that said that Dolberg and Huntelaar are two of the three top most wasteful strikers in the Eredivisie this season. They haven't scored a lot of goals. They're not top of the goal scorers list, despite Ajax scoring 60 goals so far this season. Is that a concern for me? I think when it comes to getting a last-minute winner away from home, and the strikers aren't clinical enough to take chances, it could be costly. And it's such fine margins at the moment between these two teams. I think it's fascinating that they've put these expectations upon each other. It just makes them so much better. Better for us to watch, but also better for those teams to try and improve further. And it also makes them more competitive in Europe because of that. We're sort of both sides of the fence here, Mike. You're PSV and I'm Ajax. Not supporting, but a team we think will win the Eredivisie. James also is tipping Ajax, but Charlie, you're new to the podcast, of course. Been rotated with James, you've been substituted for today. We want to get your opinion on who you think will win the Eredivisie. Has it changed from the start of the season?
Yeah, well, at the start of the season, I thought PSV. I've seen PSV live as well this season. I was really impressed with them, albeit against a 10-man and poor Heerenveen side. But I've been so impressed with Ajax in recent weeks, so it's really hard to call this one. But I'm going to stick with PSV. I'm enjoying the width that Dumfries and Angelino provide, and they've got Luke de Jong firing the goal, so maybe it's that striker element which is separating the two teams at the moment. And obviously Lozano and Bergwijn aren't exactly out of form, they're playing really well. It's just that midfield, I think, that Ajax are more superior. But having said that, you know, we'll talk about later Pablo Rosario in that midfield for PSV, been a really good young player. And they don't have the distraction of European football, so I'm going to stick with PSV, yeah.
Okay, so two of our writers sitting on either side of the fence there, really fascinating. I should just clarify, by the way, James is currently on holiday in Spain, hence why he couldn't make today's podcast. But Charlie, so far you're doing a fine job.
Oh, thank you very much, Michael.
Let's look ahead to 2019 then. So far we've had many great players emerging for Eredivisie, as they always do. Fascinating young players to watch too. Let's get your opinions then on who you think's had a fantastic 2018 and a good first half to the season. I suspect from both of you it might be from a player from PSV or Ajax, but let's just get your opinions on that. Who do you think's been the best player to watch so far this season in the league?
Player of the season so far, I've had to go with, honourable mention to Luke de Jong. I think he's been exceptional, but I've gone for Hakim Ziyech. In Ajax. I think when he's not in the Ajax side, they miss something greatly. You said earlier on that Ajax might struggle if they don't have that person to pop up with last minute goals, and I think Ziyech and Tadic have been the ones to do that this season. I think Ziyech's the one that's carrying this Ajax side to that little bit of extra quality. You know, 10 goals and 6 assists so far. And I think if they can keep him past January, they're doing excellent. I just don't know what the rest of Europe are waiting for. I mean, this is an exceptional player at the top of his game. You saw him impress at the World Cup, and he keeps doing it this season. And even in Europe, in the Champions League, he's been excellent. So it's great that we get to see him week in, week out in the Eredivisie before he goes off to a bigger club eventually. But I think he's been the star of the show so far for me.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. I think with Ziyech, there's just such an element of surprise. He can change that pace. He can come onto his left foot, and he can just be devastating. And then he was out injured for a few game weeks, and since he came back, he's just been explosive and he's been brilliant. But if we're going to go left field, looking down the table, I was crunching the numbers with Fran Sol and El Kiate of Ado Den Haag as well. And with Nasser El Kiate of Ado, he scored 14 of their 23 goals in the Eredivisie this season. They'd be rock bottom if it wasn't for his goals. And same with Fran Sol of Willem Twee. They'd be rock bottom without his goals. They've only scored 6 goals. 6 of their goals have been without him. So if you're looking at integral players and you're looking at them, and they're obviously at the top of the goal scoring charts, but it is hard to look beyond the likes of Ziyech and Tadic and De Jong. And even though he's been dipped in recent weeks, Chucky Lozano at PSV, it's so hard to look past Ajax and PSV players.
Yeah, okay, that is a good shout. He has been influential for Ado Den Haag. 5 goals have been first goal scored as well in the match, but yeah, I wonder if he could make it a top 3 club. He spoke this week about moving to a bigger club and whether or not he can make it. I think he wants that move now. He's 30 years old, only just now coming into the prime of his career. Charlie, do you think he can make it at a bigger club, abroad or in the Eredivisie?
Yeah, well, it's a risky one, isn't it? You just mentioned his age, and he said after the game just now, he scored 2 goals in that home draw against Feyenoord and Tulle. He wants to play football. So it will be something he'll be thinking about, and I don't know whether the offers will come in. I think he could be decent at Feyenoord if he played, but probably not the likes of PSV and Ajax. Maybe Utrecht or AZ. But definitely, it'd be nice to see him go to one of those clubs and maybe have a resurgence in a way, kind of bloom quite late as a footballer.
And I think as well, it'll be the move he deserves. He's been pushing hard for this for the past season and a half. And I think, yeah, Feyenoord's a good shout for him. I think for myself, I think for the player of the season so far, I think it should be Luke de Jong. I think he's really carried this PSV team. I am just trying to pick someone a little bit different. I do think Hakim Ziyech has been outstanding. But you kind of grow to know what to expect from Ziyech. And he's just outgrown the league, plain and simply. Whereas Luke de Jong's come back from a poor patch in his career. I think that's twice that's happened to him now. The first time was when he tried to move abroad and it didn't quite work out for him. But also the second time, at PSV even, when he was doing fantastic and won the league with them. But then the season after, he really struggled for goals. But he's back with a vengeance now and he's leading the side by example. And he was doing a good job in Europe too. He was a threat, particularly in the air. But now he's having to concentrate in the area of his and I think he's really, really thirsty for that another league title. We spoke about good players in the league then and also some further down the league. But has anyone disappointed for you so far this season, player-wise or club-wise?
I think for me, there's two clubs that have flopped, and that's obviously AZ Alkmaar. They did so well last season and have not been able to follow it up. They've been unlucky with injuries. I think if Myron Bourdieu was fit, they'd be higher on the table. Obviously, they lost Johan Bakash and Veghorst, which was crucial for them. Bjorn Jonsson's not been able to come in and have an impact. John van den Brom's away at the end of the season. I think this is going to be a tough campaign for them. But at the other end of the table, Pex Vola sitting in 16th. It was last year that they're saying there's a restructuring at the club and they're aiming for, you know, top five finish every year. They're going to battle for Europe and they're aiming to be the best of the rest in the Eredivisie. And this season's just been a disaster for them so far. They brought in a lot of young talents in the summer, and it's just not worked. I was expecting some big things from them, but yeah, John Van Skip's been sacked, and we'll see who they bring in. I think Jaap Stam has been mentioned. That would be an interesting appointment, but I expect a lot more for them in the second half of the season, definitely.
Yeah, I think Groningen have been a bit disappointed. I thought they were going to have a resurgence recently, but with only one win from their last five, it's been a shame. They've only won four games out of 17. I think they'll be safe ultimately because of the quality of their players in Mahi and Doan and Womadam. And they play enterprising football. It's just they're leaky. That's their problem. But yeah, other than Peck and RZ, I'd go for Groningen.
Yeah, I concur. I think Groningen have been pretty poor. Doan and Mahi are carrying them at the moment, but even then they had a bit of a resurgence, but it's kind of died off again and they're still sitting in 15th. Level on points with 17th. It's not been great from them at all. But I think the bigger flop has been AZ. John van der Brom's leaving at the end of the season, but I still don't think that he can. He's had a very good few seasons before now with AZ, but I think he's kind of let himself down with the transfer window he had last summer. Didn't strengthen enough. They knew they were losing Johan Bakhsh and Veghorst. Have not recovered from it well at all. And they just really lack quality in attack. And I think if we're going to talk in terms of players that have flopped, not just talking Eredivisie, but also Dutch national team here, but Guus Til, how disappointing he has been this season. He's been given the captaincy, five-year contract with AZ, and I don't think he's been the same at all this season. Perhaps it's because he's not playing with those quality players around him, or a reliable, regular striker in front of him. A midfielder, Suntjens, has been played in front of him. Who's not a natural striker. Bjorn Jonsson, a new signing, hasn't really lived up to expectations in attack. But Till hasn't been able to feed off anyone around him as well. And I think it's just led to him having a really poor season, probably quite low on confidence now as well.
There's another couple as well we can look at is, you know, Yassin Ayoub, you know, big player for Utrecht over the past few years. He's not got a game this season so far for Feyenoord, basically. And Matteo Cassiera, Groningen, top goal scorer for Young Ajax last season in the second division, went to Groningen to get his career back on track, and he's done absolutely nothing as well.
Yeah, the two flops I've written down here are Ayoub as well and Bjorn Jonsson. for RZ. Ayoub, maybe like his outgoing compatriot Karim El Hamadi, could have made an impact at Feyenoord in that midfield. Jordi Klaas, he's been picking up a couple of injuries of late. So I thought Ayoub could have done a bit more, yeah.
Yeah, good shouts again. Let's take a more positive spin on this then. So we've talked about the best players, but also the biggest flops of the season so far, biggest disappointments. Let's talk about some of our favourite young players to watch this season. Mike, would you like to go first on that one?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are expecting the big names, you know, the De Ligts and the Frenkie de Jongs to be on top of my list. But I've actually, number one for me has been Steven Bergwijn for PSV. Over the past couple of years, you know, when Memphis Depay was at PSV, they were already talking about Bergwijn being his successor, and there was so much hype around him. I don't think he really lived up to it for his first couple of years. Like, PSV won the title, but I don't think Bergwijn was at the top of the game. And until now, I think we're seeing what the real Bergwijn can do. He's popped up with 7 assists, 9 goals so far. He was, you know, one of our best players in our Champions League campaign. He's frightening defences at the moment with his pace and his shooting ability. And I think he's only going to get better from now until the end of the season. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of big clubs right now circling De Ligt and De Jong, understandably. But I think the same's going to be said for Bergwijn next summer. I think there's going to be a lot of clubs clamouring for him, because I think right now he's starting to show that he's, you know, a big attacker in the future. And he's already in the Dutch national team. And I think that when he's fit, he will be a starter for Netherlands going forward on the right-hand side of the attack. And, yeah, I think he's going to be a huge, huge talent for Netherlands for the next 4 or 5 years and to come. Yeah, he's going to be a top player.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I went with Bergwijn. He was the first name I wrote down. Second name I wrote down was Angelino from PSV, left back. When I was at the game against Heerenveen, he was absolutely brilliant. He was my man of the match, even though Luke de Jong stole the show with that bicycle kick. His pace, he hugs that touchline. He owns it. He terrifies the right back. He receives the ball from the other side and he just controls it. It comes inside and he just has a good repertoire. Yeah, other than De Jong and De Ligt, Donny van de Beek deserves a mention in recent weeks. He's been brilliant. Could be getting in that Dutch team. He should be pushing himself to do that. You know, he's only 21. He was integral in that big 7-1 win away at Excelsior for Ajax, I think, at the beginning of the month. Ritsu Doan, obviously, at Groningen. Really, really top talent. He's got a lot of Japanese supporters coming over. Denzel Dumfries for PSV, right back. He's been brilliant. Also really good for the national team as well, which is really good to see. And it looks like he's going to be the nation's right back in years to come.
Yeah, good list there. I think on the point of Van der Beek, we had a question from Gareth this week. Thank you again for the sending in your questions, and always keep doing that. Send them in on all of our platforms, YouTube or Twitter. We'll get them and we'll receive them. We'll put them on our next podcast. Our question was from Gareth. And he was wondering about Van der Beek. He said, with Frenkie de Jong and Matthijs de Ligt always being praised, and rightly so, does Donny van der Beek get forgotten about? I personally rate him and think he's underrated. If I just kick that off, I have to say with Van der Beek that he had a dodgy start to the season. He was kind of getting forgotten about, putting the bench quite a lot, and he wasn't happy about it. But I think that was just a masterstroke from Erik ten Hag. He knew how to get the best out of him. He's really keen to prove a point. You sat him on the bench a few times, and when he did get the opportunities to play, by God, he took it. And now look at him, he's in the first team, regular, and he's getting relied upon. I think saying he's underrated is a little bit of a top for me. I think he's a good player, but so far he hasn't kicked on to become one of Ajax's quality players, one that will stand out. But that's my opinion. What do you guys think?
Yeah, for me, I think that, you know, Frenkie de Jong and Matthijs de Ligt get talked about so much because they've got that something a little bit extra that's a bit special. I think Donny van de Beek's a great player. I think he'll have a great career, but for me, he's got touches of David Klaassen about him. I think he might be a bit more technical than David Klaassen, but that's the sort of career I can see him having going forward. You know, he's an expert at getting space around the box, and he scores goals. He scores more goals than Frenkie de Jong, and he probably possesses more assists as well. He's more of an attacking player. But I don't think he's got that something a little bit extra. I don't think he's got that dribbling ability or, you know, explosive shot from distance that would take him to the next level. I think he's probably, after Ziyech, Tadic, Frank de Jong, Matthijs de Ligt, he's probably our next one after that in our midfield. And I think, yeah, he's a good talent. He's just not an exceptional talent.
Yeah, I have to agree. That comment about David Klaassen was spot on. I was thinking exactly the same. I think they're going to have a very similar career.
Yeah, I mean, he's not like a Rolls Royce kind of player that you've got like with De Jong and De Ligt. He's a bit more robust. But what I like about him is he does bomb forward. He wants to get into the box and he could grab some important goals for Ajax going forward. And you need those players in your team. You need the players that aren't going to be looking for the headlines and aren't going to be looking to impress. They just want to give their commitment going forward and in defence as well. But it's interesting seeing that the kind of the tip of a midfield three with the Schöne and De Jong slightly behind him, and him getting forward, and he's not afraid to get his head on things and stick out a boot, and he provided a couple of nice back heels against the Graafschap. So you guys may have been slightly unfair to him. He's got a bit of flair, but yeah, probably not overall.
Yeah, fair point. We'll see how his career gets on, and a good player nonetheless. Now let's look back upon 2018 a little bit more, and let's start thinking about Dutch national team. We've had a fantastic year. Ronald Koeman was appointed at the start of the year, and he hasn't even had that many games in charge. And already, look at the progress that the Netherlands have made. Just wanted to get what your favourite moment was of the whole of 2018 with regards to the Dutch national team.
For me, it's you've got to look at the 3-0 win over Germany, and that's the top moment. That's the moment that you look back on and say that's the result that says that Netherlands are back. Dismantling Germany. Better rivals, hadn't beaten them for years, and then you absolutely smashed them to bits and deserved to beat them 3-0. I think that's just testament to what Koeman's brought and the confidence that he brought. They started a bit shaky, but as soon as they got the first goal, they dominated and they won easily. I think that's what the factor is about this Netherlands team now. They're a confidence team. They're so full of confidence now that they know they can beat anyone, and that showed against Germany. It showed in the games against France as well. This team doesn't fear anyone anymore, and it's great to go into such a crucial year like 2019 that there's so much faith now in the Dutch national team, which was lacking at this point last year. I think everyone went into 2018 thinking, oh no, we've got Nations League coming up with France and Germany, we're going to finish bottom of that, then we're going to get a bad draw for Euro 2020, and it could be another disaster. But Koeman's brought everything round. There's so much talent in this Dutch national team now, and you just got to look forward to the next 2 years heading into a new major tournament.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I'd go with the France game. That was my highlight because that was kind of the evidence of the evolution. They were complete control of the game. Griezmann and Mbappe barely had a touch. It was just a dominant performance from back to front. With Wijnaldum and Memphis getting the goals, the PSV guys, and I just really enjoyed it. They made Lloris, they kept Lloris so busy in goal. It could have been so many, many more goals, and it was just great to see the scenes at De Kuip. And then it could have been all for nothing when they were 2-0 down against Germany. But then Van Dijk popped up when it mattered, and it's all happening at the right time. I feel like for the national team, with Van Dijk and Wijnaldum doing so well at Liverpool. And the progression of these players in the Eredivisie as well, supplementing that.
For me, I think that result there, the 2-2 in Germany, because there was always positive performances at home, but I think the highlight has to be getting that goal that sends them through to the Nations League semi-finals, and that we had that faith that a goal would have been coming, and a comeback was always in the cards. And you just think to a year ago, as short as that, and what hope the Netherlands would have had in that kind of game if back then, or 2 years ago, when there was poor leadership, the players weren't playing for the manager, there was very few tactical ideas on the pitch, and the progress that's been made is unreal, I think. And they you just always had that feeling that when they were in Germany that they were always going to get that positive result, and so they did. But let's look ahead to 2019. What kind of things have we got to look forward to, Mike?
Well, I've got obviously the Ajax Real Madrid game coming up. That's in February. Then I've got the Nations League semi-final against England. I think that's going to be a massive game. I think Koeman lost his first game against England, and he's going to want to show the progress they've made since then. You know, listening to a lot of, you know, the podcasts in Britain, I think that when the draw was made, you know, there's a bit of overconfidence around England at the moment, and I think they were very happy to get Netherlands over, say, a Portugal. But, you know, they haven't faced this Netherlands side, and I think I'm interested to see what the likes of Frenkie de Jong in Memphis can do to them now. Then after that, we've got the European Championship qualifying. You know, that'll start kicking in. We've got home games against Germany and Belarus to kick that off. And in the summer, we've got a big tournament for the Netherlands women national team as well. They head into World Cup is with a good draw and is defending European champions. So, you know, Netherlands women could be the first Dutch side to win a World Cup, which would be, you know, amazing for women's football in the Netherlands going forward.
Yeah, we've already spoken about this Eredivisie title race being really exciting. That's obviously something to look forward to, and like Mike said, the Champions League. But it's got to be for us, you know, as guys based in Britain, looking at it from an English perspective in a way, would be the game against England, and yeah, how Koeman can react. And he's such an experienced manager, and I think he's been so key because he's got the structure, he knows what he wants from the team. And he's just got that know-how of the Eredivisie itself, and he's got the pedigree, and he's got knowledge of the Premier League as well. So he'll know about this England team. He'll know what Southgate's trying to do. He'll be used to those players. So it'll be really, really exciting to see how the Netherlands can maybe prove some people wrong. Because if we are saying that people are underestimating the national team, then let them. But I don't think they should be at all. If you know anything about football, you should be seeing that the Netherlands are coming out of a group from the last two world champions, they're a really, really good side, and they're going to get even better.
Yeah, they're going to get better and better as they ready themselves to their semi-finals, but also for Euro 2020, which is not far along away at all when you think about it. One of our final topics this week is the breaking news about Frank de Boer, as he's been placed in charge at Atlanta United in the USA. Mike, just want to get your thoughts on it, and is this a good move for De Boer in terms of his career, having seen the dodgy past few years he's had?
Yeah, for me it was a bit of a shock to see that when the news broke that he was going to Atlanta, because it was all in one day that in the morning it broke that, you know, Anderlecht basically had a deal with him that fell through at the last minute. Then he came out saying that he was close to terms with a club, he was hoping it was going to get done. And then it was basically announced by a Dutch newspaper that it was Atlanta United in America, who are, you know, heading into this season as defending MLS champions. And for me, I would just question what Frank de Boer, what he thinks he can improve on this side. You know, if they're already MLS champions, you know, what more can he achieve there? I know he can defend his title and then maybe earn his reputation back in America, but I think Anderlecht, you know, the club in Belgium, you know, they've finished outside the champion spot for the past couple of years, losing it to Club Bruges. I think that would have been a bigger opportunity for him to prove himself again. I think that in the MLS, you know, any side can basically win it every year, the way that, you know, the draft system works, and a lot of United's best players are getting linked to moves elsewhere. I'm just curious to think why he chose this path for himself. You know, he's always spoke about he's rejected moves in the past because he wants the right club after having such a disaster at Crystal Palace and Inter Milan. And it seems strange to me that he'd pick a club that, for me, can only really go down next year if you don't defend the championship. That's really it. And it could hurt his reputation even more if he doesn't do anything in the MLS. Whereas I think Anderlecht, the pressure would have been awful a bit more, and Club Brugge are obviously the best side in that league with standard wage, and I think he could have moulded the side there better. But you know, it's a strange one. You'll see how he gets on. I hope I'm the best, but I just don't think it's the right career move for him at this moment.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. It's so left field, I don't really understand it. If he stayed in Europe, he could have maybe cultivated reputation a bit more, with Anderlecht maybe being in Europa League football, making that impression. Staying in kind of same infrastructure, playing same kind of tactical systems, and with players all on the same page. But with Atlanta, from what I've seen, they're probably going to lose Miguel Almirón, a really good playmaker for them, and obviously Joseph Martinez, their star striker, who scored, I think, a record number of goals in an MLS season. Yeah, they've got a great infrastructure at the club. Their Mercedes-Benz Stadium is amazing. It's lovely. The fan base is really good as well. But even if he wins the title, even if he regains it without these two star players, what's he proved to anyone? Can anyone kind of quantify that success from a European perspective? Because that's where he wants to be. Unless he kind of wants to be an MLS legend, I don't know what he's trying to do. Maybe, I don't know whether he sees it as an easy job. But even so, it's going to be difficult. And as I repeat, what does he prove to anyone by winning this, as Mike said?
Yeah, I don't think he's made for the top at all in Europe as a manager. But as a quite a damning opinion, I suppose, I think after his first couple of years at Ajax, he grew a little bit overconfident with his abilities. He ended up seeing players not really playing as much for him anymore. And in his final title success that he had, there was some insipid football. And if it wasn't for the other opposing teams being so poor, then Ajax might have been easily overrun and finished second or third that season. So he was made to look very good by winning so many titles in a row at Ajax. There was a lot of defensive football. It was not good in Europe, really poor record. Not even making the later stage of the Europa League, getting thrown out by weakened teams, just Dinamo Bucharest, I remember, on penalties. At Palace, I think, I can't speak too much about Inter Milan, but I know at Palace, the players always complained about they weren't happy with how he was given the tactics and it was all too much change and he was joining in too much with the players at training and showing them up even with his footballing skills. And there's all sorts of talk about how the players didn't like that, but I think I can see sort of on their side that perhaps some of his methods were a bit too far away from what they were used to. It's too much introduced at once, and maybe was a little bit deluded into thinking it would be an easy job at Crystal Palace. Clearly it wasn't, and it didn't last very long in the job. But I don't think he's all that made out for the top as a manager in Europe.
Yeah, I agree with that, Michael. Ajax, I think they were winning titles with around 70 points plus. In the last three seasons, we've seen PSV Feyenoord hitting over 80. So they're maybe more resounding, it's more competitive. Whereas I agree with your point, in those four titles, yeah, they were really great moments, obviously, because you're winning four titles in a row. But yeah, you're kind of dropping that level a bit, maybe. And yeah, the football's not as great and they're selling a lot of players. And the Palace appointment was a disaster. I think Jose Mourinho called him the worst coach for Premier League history. And he's probably not far off. He didn't get backed in the summer window. But then at the same time, he didn't help himself. He did bring in the Dutch influence with Fozzy Mensah and Riedewald. But there was just no structure.
I think you got to look at his two successors, really. If you look at them, you know, Marcel Kaiser and Peter Bosz and the jobs that they've got recently. You know, Kaiser's doing such a great job in Portugal with Sporting. You know, won six games out of six. And Peter Bosz has been named the new Bayer Leverkusen job, I think. If you're looking at Dutch coaches that have an exciting future, you're looking more at them too than Frank de Boer at the moment. I think he's sort of, yes, as Michael says, I think his time in the top of Europe is done. And I don't think he'll be named in the running for the Dutch national team in the future either. I think he's kind of hurt his career with this move as well.
Yeah, that was a close shave, wasn't it? We almost ended up with Frank de Boer's Dutch national team coach, and thank goodness we didn't have that one. Well, Charlie, Mike, is there anything else you'd like to discuss in this podcast?
Well, we covered quite a lot there today, guys. It was nice to do kind of an end of season, not awards, but kind of mentions to the best route that we've seen, and like revelation players as well, those coming through. It's a really bright future for Dutch football in domestic terms, also internationally. That's what I'm really enjoying about Dutch football at the moment, and I think more people are going to get into it, and Ajax can do really well to beat Real Madrid and would raise their profile a lot more, especially their players.
Yeah, I think it's great to be heading into a new year so positive about everything about our Dutch clubs in, you know, the last 16 in Europe. We can look forward to that. We can look forward to the Dutch national team being back playing at the top of Europe. I think next year's also going to be a great year, and there's so much interesting things that are going to happen in 2019. You've got, obviously, the summer transfer window. We'll see eventually, where Frankie de Jong, Matthijs de Ligt, and Alexis Steven Bergwijn, where they'll end up, and how their careers will progress, and then we'll see the players that are going to replace them. I mean, you say they'll be gone, but in Ajax, Feyenoord's academy, PSV's academy, they're producing so many talents at the moment that, you know, next year, next season, we'll be talking about some more players that are coming through, and it's great to be a Dutch football fan at the moment because there's so much good talent around.
Well, Charlie, Mike, thanks for joining me on this podcast, and we'd like to wish all listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Fijne Kerstdagen, if you're Dutch, and we'll release a new podcast very soon.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.